The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Have you ever gone on a great date and been rejected or ghosted after and left confused and wondering, why did this happen? How did I not see the signs? Maybe you've even followed up and not gotten a full answer. If you know someone who's gotten rejected, send them this episode because we're going to talk all about how you can respond to rejection and why rejection is actually a beautiful thing at the end of the day. So stay with me and I'm excited to talk more on this topic.
I'm Nellie Sujri, the number one dating coach and matchmaker for high-value singles. I use data-driven solutions to help modern, successful singles find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy. So if you're ready to meet your person and get out of the dating game for good, you're in the right place. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast.
So today, guys, we're going to talk about rejection because rejection in dating is not uncommon. And if you are a seasoned dater, chances are you've probably been rejected. And if you haven't been rejected, I guarantee you know someone who has. And it seems that this is becoming a lot more common in today's modern dating landscape because there just are more options. And people, I think, feel inclined to reject other people in pursuit of something better. And a lot of the times they will not provide you with real clarity as far as why they're rejecting you. And if they do provide you with clarity, in my experience and in the experience of working with clients, more often than not, it's never the full story. So today we're going to discuss how you can respond to rejection so that you're actually taking on a glass half full perspective and not internalizing it a lot. I know in my experience, I've had a history of really internalizing rejection and feeling not enough, feeling as if there's something wrong with me, feeling like I am not what that person is looking for and I must be the problem and I'm the common denominator. When in reality, and I can tell you this with a lot of confidence because as a matchmaker, I often have conversations with my client and the person that they go on a date with. So I always get two perspectives. What I can tell you is you don't always have the full picture. And while you might think it's one thing, it could be something totally different. So we're going to discuss that and dive into that today. And in order to really, I think, paint a picture, we have to listen to some personal anecdotes. So I asked a couple high-value clients of mine to provide me with past experiences of them getting rejected. And this is what one of them had to say. So for perspective, this particular client, he is based in Los Angeles. He is a CEO of a extremely popular media company. And this is what he said.
I met a girl in LA. We had a fun night, went to dinner, hung out at the bar after, then went to a nightclub. This was a Saturday night. We had such a fun night. Flirty, hanging, little kissy action. Then the next day she flew back to New York where she was from. And we were texting and I asked her if she wanted to have dinner in the city in New York with me next weekend, and she said yes. And we kept texting. I confirmed on Monday, little fun banter on Tuesday. Wednesday, I told her I was excited to see her getting on a late night flight. Wednesday night, I landed Thursday morning, texted her when I got into the city, didn't hear from her, texted her.
If you guys caught on to that, he made a plan. I always say it's great when a man has a plan. He made a plan. He coordinated the dates. He even got a ticket to go visit her, got on the flight, landed in New York City, texted her only to be ghosted when he touched down. Why is this a problem? Well, if you're anyone with common sense, because it's just, it's not human decency. But secondly, I believe in karma, and I believe that what goes around comes around. And if you are ever in the position that she was in, and you lead someone on like that, and you actually don't give them the common courtesy of an explanation, or at least a heads up to not get on that plane, I truly believe that in some way, shape, or form, that negative energy that you put that person through is going to boomerang back to you. Obviously, though, it doesn't soften the blow when you're in that position and you are on the other side of it, when you're on the receiving end and you're the one being rejected, right? What do you do then? This guy got on a flight to the other side of the country only to be left in the dust without any explanation. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But how should he respond to that? He has every reason to be bitter. He has every reason to be upset. He has every reason to fall into that same mindset that a lot of men and women, in fairness, fall into of like hating the opposite sex, right? Well, all women suck or all women are users, right? A lot of people online, you hear that narrative. But here's what I have to say. Just because one person mistreats you doesn't mean that that person is a reflection of everyone in their group. When the wrong person walks out of your life, they make room for the right person to walk in. There's that famous quote, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And in this case, she showed her colors. And as much as it sucked and as much of a waste of money as it was and a waste of time, at least he knows who she is. And if she ever tries to circle back, hopefully he won't waste his time. But it doesn't make it easy. You know, this is modern dating for you. This is what it's like to be in the trenches and to be, you know, someone who makes an effort and has interest in someone. I also think that leading someone on, if you really aren't interested, usually comes from a desire to have your own personal ego validated. And I see this with men and with women, right? Wanting attention, wanting that validation. And so they will keep someone sort of interested, but like not really let them in fully because they want to scratch that itch. That's fundamentally wrong, in my opinion, because if you're someone who's dating strategically and you're a high value single, you're going to respect other people's time. You're going to move through this world with an attitude of, I'm okay walking away from situations that don't serve me, and I'm confident enough to give someone the clarity because I respect people's time, just like I would want someone to respect my time. Now, in his case, this is a tough situation because he got to New York City, right? He was there. He had the date planned. Then what? You know, make the most of a negative situation is what I say. You're in New York. You've got, you know, a couple days open that you were hoping to spend with this person. Get on the dating apps or go meet up with some friends that you might have in that city if you have any. Or go to a bar and just start talking to strangers, right? Make the most of a bad situation by maximizing the time that you do have in putting it into new dating opportunities as opposed to mourning the one that fell through. Everything is energy in life. What you choose to exude energetically is going to come back to you. And so it's not always what happens, it's more how you respond, right? So if something like that happens, it's really easy to respond with negative energy. But if you respond with positive energy of like, you know what? The positive side is I actually had work to do and now I can do it. Or the positive side is I don't have to spend $500 on a dinner with a girl who obviously was never interested in me. I can take myself shopping, or I can go to a museum, or I can meet a woman while I'm in this great town who maybe is what I'm looking for. Now, I'm not saying this is easy, but what I am saying is everything is perspective. If you choose to respond with a positive perspective to a negative situation, you are keeping yourself on an energetic frequency that is going to put you more in alignment with the type of person that you are trying to attract. But yeah, I mean, it stings, it blows. I don't envy him. And I know a lot of people have had situations like this where someone has led them on and led them to believe that things are going in one direction only to pull the rug from under them at the last minute. Frankly, even speaking for myself, I've had this happen multiple times. There was a guy I was dating not too long ago, probably 7 months ago, And he had kind of promised me, you know, all these exciting things that we were going to be doing. I invited him to a wedding. He agreed. Like, we had, you know, plans kind of rolling. And he had said to me, I'm so excited I met someone like you. And then I got a text out of nowhere saying, hey, I just don't see a long-term future with us. And I tried to push for clarification and he ghosted me. So it happens, guys. It happens to the best of us. But here's what I'll tell you. More often than not, it is not about you. It's about them. And also, you don't really always know why someone's rejecting you. Someone could have rejected you because, and we'll go to the extreme here, they knock someone up, right? Maybe they knock someone up and they're too embarrassed to share that with you. Now, on the less extreme end, maybe they actually think you're too good for them. Maybe they have a fearful attachment style and they don't feel that they can live up to what you deserve. And so the only thing they know how to do is to pull away and to be a coward about it. Maybe they fear commitment. Maybe they fear losing their independence. Maybe they're dismissive, avoidant attachment style, right? That also doesn't have anything to do with you. It has something to do with them and their inability to really introspect on the things that perhaps are holding them back, right? Maybe they're seeking something superficial and you're a deep person. You really never know, and that's the point. And the story you tell yourself really matters, because if you tell yourself that it's you, that you're the problem, well, guess what? You're going to continue beating yourself up. Whereas if you choose to let go of the burden of the ghosting, right, and the lack of transparency, you actually step into a lot more of your power. Now, sometimes it is you, right? Sometimes someone ghosts you because maybe you said something inappropriate, or maybe you did something that was wrong, or maybe, you know, maybe you didn't show up the way you should have showed up for that person in that environment, and maybe they ghosted you. Now, I'm not a proponent of ghosting, but in that case, look at it as a lesson. That is still looking at the glass as half full. When you take that experience and you say, you know what? I understand that this didn't work out, but it's a great lesson for me, because next time a great person comes along, I know what I have to do. I know that I have to come correct or show up as the best version of myself, right? But yeah, I mean, everything in life, I think, is either a lesson or a blessing. And I always say rejection is really just redirection. And you don't always see that in the immediate. Sometimes it doesn't come for months or even years. For example, there have been people who I've really wanted things to work out with who have rejected me, and it felt like my world was crumbling down in the moment. But funny enough, a couple months later, I have come to the realization that had I been with that person, I would never have actually gotten a different opportunity and actually met more exciting people and been put on a path that feels a lot more authentic to me. So let's talk about what you can do if you get ghosted, right? There are a couple different options. First, you can mutually ghost them back. No answer is an answer. That's something I have always said. Another option, though, is you can lead with communication and clarity and transparency. And you can say something to the effect of, like, if I'm putting myself in his position, you could say, hey, I totally understand that you may have had a change of heart. However, I find it incredibly disrespectful that you waited until I touched down in New York City to ghost me. If your feelings changed, I would have appreciated knowing that before I got on a 6-hour flight across the country. And you put it back on them. You know, you don't have to be sweet. You have to be assertive. You have to be direct and concise and really explain how that made you feel. I think it's important to show people who disrespect you that it's not okay. Otherwise, that cycle will continue. And hey, if they choose to not respond because they're a coward, let it go, fine. But at the same time, I think there is something really powerful about vocalizing how you feel. And actually, when you vocalize how you feel, you lead with vulnerability. So that's what I would say. I would say if it bothered you, you can respond in a concise and assertive way, like I said, and just let them know that that's not okay. And you would have really appreciated if they had told you earlier. You can also sandwich it in. You know, you don't make them feel bad because they rejected you. You can say, hey, I acknowledge that your feelings may have shifted. I understand that not everyone is a match. However, and this is where you assert your standard and you assert what you would have hoped to have happened in a mature way. However, I think it is incredibly disrespectful and immature of you to have not communicated that to me before I got on a flight. You wasted my time. You wasted my energy, and you should know that that's not okay. I wish you the best. Take care. You know, I think that's a powerful type of response to send. We're going to, after the break, listen to another rejection story. And this one is pretty interesting because what you'll catch on to with a lot of rejection stories is there's always mixed messages going on. So stay with me and I'll play that for you after the break.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So, as mentioned, rejection is often rooted in mixed messages. And to really paint a picture, I'm going to share another story that came in from one of my clients, my matchmaking clients, of a girl that I set him up with. And unfortunately, after the date, she changed her mind. Now, on the date, she showed a lot of interest and was making out with him. You know, he left on cloud nine, and then he received a voice memo from her saying that she has changed her mind, and this is what he had to say.
Hey, so I just got that audio message from I don't need you to play the role of therapist, but you know, I'm really bummed and disappointed. You know, I feel like, to be honest, really surprised. I mean, I felt like she kind of made a move on me, and you know, I don't need someone to be obsessed with me. I just, it's like, you know, it sounds like she's just not really in. I mean, she talks about if her soulmate comes into the picture. I think, you know, if you're not in a place to be receptive to something serious, I don't take it personally. It's just more so I don't think she's really ready. I don't think she's really serious for a relationship. And then it's like, why are you going on, you know, matchmaking dates if you're not really ready for something, you know? And I guess some women just will like the idea that they're being kind of courted, but you know, I guess I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you weed out people who are serious versus not serious. It's just, again, I don't think it's me. I think it would be any guy. I think I think the failure rate of any great guy that you put in front of her would be 99%, you know? And it's like, how do you operate with that? Really bummed. I felt like she was a real diamond in the rough, and oh, it's really, really frustrating because it's not every day that you meet someone that you really are like, wow, I could, you know, I would actually want to, you know, date this person.
You know, that is an example of an experience that is, as mentioned, rooted in someone who's leading someone on, leading them to believe that they're interested, only to back out at the last minute. Now, here's the thing. It's okay to change your mind about someone. It's okay to go on a date, make out with them, and then decide that you don't want to go on a second date, right? Things happen. Sometimes you meet someone else in that window who you're really more excited about, you're a lot more excited about, and you have a change of thought, right? Like, that is fine. We are human. Just because you make out with someone doesn't mean you are obligated to go on a second date with them. That being said, if we're really being real here, this sounds like a textbook avoidant attachment style person. Now, avoidant attachment is one of the attachment styles on the spectrum. So you have a secure attachment style, which is kind of like the sweet spot in the middle. And then on one end of the spectrum, you have anxious attachment style, which is someone who is a little bit more needy and needs that reassurance in a relationship or in dating. And then on the opposite side of that spectrum, you have avoidant attachment style, which is someone who's scared of losing their independence and therefore can be very dismissive and their fears push someone away. Think about this as someone who's emotionally unavailable. A lot of this stuff stems from childhood wounds, and I will do an episode in the future that is entirely dedicated to attachment styles. So if you want to learn more about that, then absolutely something I will dive into deeper on another episode. That being said, this woman is characteristic based on how it sounds of someone who's avoidant attachment style, because why would you come on hot and heavy to someone only to decide at the last minute that you don't want to go on a second date, right? Dating is just about getting to know people. That's really all it is. Maybe, as mentioned, though, if we give her the benefit of the doubt, maybe something happened. Maybe she met someone new. Maybe an ex came back into the equation, right? We don't ever have the full story. But here's an example of a guy who really tried to do all the right things and was left thinking one thing only to be disappointed after, you know, she changed her mind. For further perspective, he did respond to her, and I actually think he probably could have been a little bit more concise in his response, because it almost seemed like he was egging her on a little bit in terms of wanting an explanation. And in fairness, I've been there myself, where I've really wanted to know the reason. What I've come to realize, though, in doing this for a long time, is especially when it's coming from an avoidant attachment style person, more often than not, you're not going to get the reason. Because sometimes the reason is painful. Sometimes it's insulting. Sometimes it requires deep introspection, right? And actually someone to say, oh, you know, you're a great person. I just have my own insecurities that I have to deal with, right? A lot of people have too much pride to say that. And a lot of people also don't have the emotional kind of wherewithal to really go into the depths of their own upbringing and their own experiences to come to that conclusion. But when you start to recognize that rejection is not always about you, it's often about the other person. Again, that's when you really harness your power. So this is what he responded with.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll just share with you how I feel about you. And what I told Nelly was, like, I think you're a diamond in the rough. I think you're an incredible person. I think you're, you know, smart, beautiful, motivated. You have a great head on your shoulders, great sense of humor, just very pragmatic. And yeah, I guess I'm just surprised. I mean, just from some of the things you said, I don't need someone to be obsessed with me. I would argue that's not even healthy. And I hear you on, you know, I guess I certainly hope you don't feel like I put you under any romantic pressure. And also I'm a bit surprised. I mean, I know that we kind of shared a nice kiss at the end, and I really actually wasn't even expecting that or motioning for that, but it happened and I'm glad it did. But yeah, I guess all that's to say that I don't want to feel like I'm forcing it. At the same time, you know, if you were open to it, I'd love to just take off any romantic pressure and just get to know you a little bit more. I mean, it seems like it seems like we both had a really nice time together. All I can share with you is how I feel. And how I feel is I really like you in fear of not coming on too strongly, you know, but and being vulnerable. I really, I really think really highly of you. And I really feel like you're a really special person, someone that doesn't come around very often. And so that's why I'm kind of willing to.
I'm just going to pause there because this goes on and on and on. And here's what I have to say. I give him massive kudos for leading with transparency and vulnerability, because it is so easy to just go back into your shell when someone rejects you. But fighting for someone and really putting your emotions on the line and being honest, I think takes a lot, and it really shows a high degree of emotional maturity. I think there's a balance though with doing that while keeping it concise, right? Getting your point across, but not being super long-winded about it. Now, I don't fault him at all for sending her that message, by the way, but I just think it maybe could have been shorter. But regardless, he did, you know, have a lot of kind words to say to her, and he's a great guy, and maybe he's not the guy she's looking for. But again, dating is about getting to know someone. And I think where a lot of people go wrong in dating is they put a lot of pressure on the first date, right? And if it's an automatic yay or an automatic nay. And I'll tell you, in my experience, it is so interesting when you get to know people, especially on a friendship level first, because you realize that everyone has layers. And on first dates, it's very easy to just judge someone based on what the external layer is, but you really don't know someone until you know someone, until you've seen them really, you know, go through situations. And part of dating strategically is giving people chances who already meet certain criteria. That's the asterisk, right? So they went on a matchmaking date because they both, based on what was on paper and presented to them, were interested. So it wasn't like she didn't know what religion he was, or she didn't know how tall he was, or any of that, right? They had a level of, you know, mutual agreement prior to going on the date. Obviously, there was a level of attraction there as well, because they made out. Where we see a lot of this ghosting and rejection is people pulling away prematurely before actually getting to know someone. And I'll say this too, as someone who's been on the receiving end of rejection and has led with transparency and wanted to, you know, be vulnerable in hopes that that person would change their mind, you have to also go into that knowing that while it's great, I think, to be that way, you very well may not still get that person to come around, and they may not change their mind. But this is where some of the spiritual elements come in, of really trusting that you are being divinely guided. And while it feels painful in the moment, and it's really hard to go on a date, be vulnerable, open up, be physical, you know, even as far as making out goes with someone, and then have them reject you, right? That's a tough thing to go through. Reminding yourself of those things we talked about, right? It's not always you. Sometimes it's them. Sometimes they are emotionally incapable of providing you with what you need. More often than not, I would argue that they are. Secondly, really holding on to that unwavering belief in those moments that what is meant for you will find you, it will see your value, and it will fight for you. So your person, and you have to believe that your person is still out there, wants exactly what you have to offer, and you're not going to be settling with them. You're going to be actually very excited and impressed with them. But it's really tough in those moments to have that long-term vision, because you're still stuck in the pain of the rejection. But at least knowing that, you know what, I don't have to waste my time anymore. And at least I have the courtesy now, as opposed to 6 months from now, when I would have invested so much more time and energy into someone and had them reject me. You know, that's better, right? Having as early of a heads up as possible is better. And I think too, guys, you know, in dating, getting comfortable with rejection is really important. And you're going to get more comfortable with rejection, by the way, when you become more confident in who you are. See, when you don't feel really confident and worthy of the love that you want, that's when rejection will really hit you hard. But if you don't have that sense of self and you don't have that really solid self-confidence and self-worth, then rejection is going to knock you down hard. And I'll also add something else, which we're going to talk about more after the break. And that's that rejection is sometimes divine protection. And it, I think, can actually be really great motivation for you to up-level your life. So stay with me and we'll discuss more after the break on that. Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So as I mentioned right before we went to break, Part of rejection and really having a glass half full perspective on it is understanding that often it is you being protected. The universe hears conversations that you're not always privy to. It sees things that you don't always see. And it is protecting you from things that maybe actually would have broken you down even more. And so really having that unwavering trust that everything happens for a reason, even if you don't know what that reason is in the moment, will help you get through rejection, I think, and actually propel you to being a lot better and more successful in your dating life so you can ultimately meet your person. Secondly, sometimes rejection is the fire in our belly that we need to actually start making progress toward our goals. I can tell you in my experience when I've been rejected before, I've often internalized it as, oh, it's because I'm not XYZ enough, right? I'm not fit enough, successful enough, whatever enough, right? Insert what you feel perhaps not enough in. And then leaning into that and saying, okay, why do I feel that way? And what can I do to not feel that way? Example, maybe you feel you were rejected because the woman that you liked, perhaps you believe that she perceived you as not being successful enough. Now, a different perspective on this that I sometimes feel can be used for good is success is the best revenge, right? So becoming so good that you feel like you were actually the one who lucked out on them walking away is ultimately where you want to end up. So it's like, okay, use that as motivation. Use that as motivation to grind. Use that as motivation to do that thing that you've been putting off, whatever it is that makes you feel more empowered. Now, another school of thought is reminding yourself that you are enough and that they missed out. It's really ultimately up to you, but I'm just trying to equip you with different tools that will help you get through the rejection because not everyone can just tell themselves, yeah, I'm enough and be good. Sometimes feeling like you're enough means actually doing the work that is going to put you in that place of actually embodying the energy that you want to embody when it comes to being the best version of yourself, right? And if you feel that you're lacking and if you feel like you are not enough, then what can you do to really build that muscle up? And it's not about the other person, by the way. This is where you take that rejection and you leverage it as feedback. Now, perhaps that person's opinion doesn't really matter to you. Okay, you don't have to lean into that, right? But what really you don't want to do when you get rejected is take that rejection and use it as data that you feel defines you. Someone's perspective on you is just their perspective on you. It might not be even remotely close to what or who you are. And when you give someone power in those experiences of like, oh, well, it must be because of XYZ, therefore they're right, therefore I'm this, that's where you lose. You write your own story. You tell yourself the narrative you want to hear every day. Because guess what? That story is what's guiding you through life. So you might as well tell yourself a story that serves you. And if this person who rejected you, by the way, is really meant for you and you truly believe it, you got nothing to worry about because they'll find their way back. I have often sought out people who represent someone that my family would like. And if that person rejected me, I would feel like, oh, it's because I'm not enough for my family. Where does that come from? That's the question. Where does that come from? Why does that matter so much to me? See, when you go through this process of really digging deep into the inner corners of your soul, that's when the healing starts. Because that's where the introspection lies. It actually will help you recover and work through those problems and rid yourself of the weight that that rejection is placing on you. So, just to recap, I know we talked a lot about rejection, but just to recap, first of all, be the energy you want to receive. So if you don't want to get ghosted, don't ghost someone. If you want someone to lead with transparency in your dating life, then you be the type of person that leads with transparency in your dating life, right? Be the change you want to see in dating, essentially. And also, secondly, how you respond to rejection is the most important component of the entire event that took place. Are you going to let that rejection define you? Or are you going to let that rejection redirect you? Are you going to look at it through a half glass full perspective? Like, you know what? This sucks. But on the bright side, at least now I know that they're not my person and I don't have to waste more time. And at least this happened now and not 6 to 12 months later. Another good way of reframing rejection is telling yourself a story that serves you. And I also will say, you know, much like the example shared earlier, if someone rejects you, don't feel like you can't ask why. Now, like I mentioned, you might not always get the answer you want. You might not get the answer that's true either. But there is nothing wrong with leading with vulnerability. In fact, I think when you do, you're actually practicing and teeing up for the relationship that is going to be the one for you. Because it shows that you are operating in that dating mindset of, no, I want something serious and I'm not afraid to be honest about my intentions. And remember, sometimes, I would argue almost always, rejection is protection, right? You don't know what could be going on in that person's life. You really don't know someone until you really know them. And it's so easy to romanticize a situation and create a delusional, and I mean that with love, you know, perception of someone who you haven't met because they're only showing you the best side of themselves, but you don't know what's going on in their life. They could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. They could have a whole other family. They could have gotten someone pregnant. They could have an STD. They could be just a negative person, or they could just not be the person for you. But often rejection is laced with little nuggets of knowledge and lots of insights, either about ourselves or the patterns in terms of who we're trying to partner up with, that if we lean into, we can actually heal from and ultimately put ourselves on a better path to meet the person we're meant to be with. Which reminds me, if you have any dating experiences that you want to share on the podcast, either anonymously or not, please send them to me over voice note in my DMs. You can find me on Instagram at ask.nelly, and you might be featured in an upcoming episode. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, though, please make sure to rate and subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to it on, Spotify, Apple, or YouTube. And I am looking forward to talking to you in the next episode. Bye.